Support for Swindled comes from SimpliSafe. For the longest time, I thought home security systems were basically alarms that went off after someone had already broken into your home, which always seemed a little late. That's why I switched to SimpliSafe. Their outdoor camera series 2 uses AI to identify threats on your property and alert US-based live agents who can take action before a break-in even begins. Get 50% off your new system at simplisafe.com/swindled. That's simplisafe.com/swindled. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
This episode of Swindled may contain graphic descriptions or audio recordings of disturbing events which may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We are in Lordstown, Ohio. We are inside our 6.2 million square foot manufacturing plant and our headquarters. Our goal is to build the first electric pickup truck in the United States and likely the world. I'm Steve Burns. This is Lordstown Motors.
In November 2018, General Motors announced it would close its 640-acre assembly plant in Lordstown, Ohio, after 53 years of production. Thousands of workers would lose their jobs, property values would plummet, and once again, the Mahoning Valley would be left searching for a new identity. Except this time, the pain was short-lived. Just 6 months later, a new hope arrived in the form of an Ohio-based electric vehicle startup called Lordstown Motors Corporation. The company purchased the shuttered factory and promised to transform a symbol of industrial decline into the future of American manufacturing. Even GM bought into the vision and agreed to provide a $40 million loan to help jumpstart production of Lordstown's first vehicle, the Endurance, an aptly named all-electric pickup truck the company claimed would be the first of its kind.
Endurance is what got us here. And there's nowhere it can't take us. The all-electric Endurance by Lordstown Motors.
The Endurance was a complete reinvention of the pickup truck itself. More efficient, safer, less expensive to maintain. The secret sauce, LMC claimed, was in the wheels. Instead of a conventional drivetrain with thousands of moving parts, the Endurance had just four hub motors, one built directly into each wheel, the same concept used by the e-scooters that litter city blocks. This design eliminates much of the mechanical complexity found in a gas-powered vehicle without compromising performance. But it hadn't been implemented at such a massive scale until now.
The motors are in the wheels, so it only has four moving parts, and they gives very good traction, as you can see here. As it, we did a little, just a little country pull off there, and pulled a Ford across the field.
An old-fashioned country pull-off, just like you and your friends used to do in the basement. But this was even more impressive. According to Steve Burns, the founder and visionary behind Lordstown Motors, the Endurance produced 550 horsepower, could tow 8,000 pounds, handled like a sports car, and could travel up to 260 miles on a single charge. The equivalent, he claimed, of about 75 miles per gallon. And best of all, it produced zero tailpipe emissions. The future had arrived. Lordstown announced the Endurance would be on the road by November 2020, just 18 months away. It was an ambitious timeline, especially for a startup that, according to Burns, intended to manufacture its own batteries and electric motors. But it was more than enough time for Lordstown Motors to sell its mission to the general public, especially with a few influential cheerleaders leading the way.
Well, the news now heads a little farther east toward Youngstown, where Vice President Mike Pence rolled up in a brand new electric truck in Lordstown.
Today is a new beginning for Lordstown, and it's a new day of leadership in electric vehicles in the United States.
The revival of a recently shuttered automotive plant was exactly the kind of story an incumbent president likes to point to during an election year, a promise kept to bring American manufacturing back from the dead. Now, turning 4,000 jobs into a few hundred might not seem like the art of the deal to you or anybody familiar with math, but the administration chalked it up as a win and eagerly embraced the company. Vice President Mike Pence attended the unveiling of the Endurance, and Lordstown Motors CEO Steve Burns was invited to the White House to showcase the prototype.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is incredible. So this is a vehicle where the essentially the engines, the motors engines, are in the wheels. They're in the wheels, in all four wheels. It's Lordstown, Ohio. They make them in Lordstown, Ohio.
Pre-orders poured in. Clean Fuels Ohio committed to buying 500 trucks.
We got 27,000 orders.
Innervations LLC reserved another 1,000.
So we've already got 50,000 pre-orders.
A company called E-Squared Energy reportedly signed on for 14,000 more.
So really a big appetite. You've got a fleet that's been...
By the end of 2020, Lordstown Motors claimed to have nearly 100,000 pre-orders, representing roughly three-quarters of $1 billion in potential revenue. And that didn't even include government and military fleets, the company's primary target market, which weren't eligible to participate in the pre-order program.
These people are not going to be walking away. They are committed.
Very serious orders.
100,000 very serious orders. There was just one minor issue. The Endurance itself wasn't ready. Production was taking longer than expected, so the first customer deliveries were pushed to September of the following year. And Lordstown Motors quickly exhausted the more than $500 million it had raised from private investors. The company needed more money. Fortunately, there was a shortcut.
Hi, I'm Steve Burns. I'm CEO and founder of Lordstown Motors. Today, I'm very excited to announce we are merging with Diamond Peak. Diamond Peak is a special purpose acquisition company, and the business combination will be a publicly listed firm.
In October 2020, Lordstown Motors went public by merging with Diamond Peak Holdings, a special purpose acquisition company, or SPAC. Often called a blank check company, a SPAC has no real business of its own. It's simply a publicly traded shell that raises money from investors who trust its managers to find a promising private company to acquire down the road. Think of it this way. A traditional initial public offering is like building a proven, successful restaurant and then inviting investors to purchase a stake in it. A SPAC, on the other hand, is like asking investors to buy into an empty building with the guarantee that you'll eventually find a great restaurant to move in. It's a much riskier proposition, but if that future restaurant turns out to be a hit, those early investors stand to profit handsomely since they got in on the ground floor. Once the deal is complete, the private company inherits the SPAC's stock market listing and access to a fresh pool of public investor capital. And because it's merging into an entity that's already publicly traded, the process is much faster and faces less scrutiny than a traditional IPO. Following its SPAC merger, Lordstown Motors began trading on the NASDAQ at $18.55 per share. Investors who believed they were backing a soon-to-be revolutionary company with hundreds of thousands of pre-orders quickly drove the price to nearly $32 per share. By early February 2021, on paper, Lordstown Motors was now worth roughly $5 billion and had yet to generate a single dollar of revenue. And about a month later, it became clear that it probably never would.
Hindenburg Research is short selling the Lordstown Motors stock. The firm says the company has misled investors in a report released today, focusing on the company's demand and production capabilities.
On March 12, 2021, Hindenburg Research, a five-person activist short-selling firm founded by Nathan Anderson, published a roughly 12,000-word report titled The Lordstown Motors Mirage. After analyzing interviews with former insiders and purported customers, original documents, corporate filings, and public records, Hindenburg concluded that nearly every major claim made by Lordstown Motors was exaggerated or outright false. Its most damaging finding involved the company's pre-orders. Hindenburg found that these orders were little more than non-binding expressions of interest that required no deposit. Many of the supposed customers didn't even operate vehicle fleets or possess the financial means to buy thousands of trucks, even if they wanted to. Others, such as Innervations LLC and E-Squared Energy, were revealed to be nothing more than tiny consulting firms that were recruited solely to generate publicity. Some companies Hindenburg contacted said they didn't even know they had been counted as customers and had no plans to purchase the vehicles. As Hindenburg's report concluded, quote, "We found zero binding orders or genuine signs of commitment in Lordstown's order book. The company's orders are largely fictitious and used as a prop to raise capital and confer legitimacy." And even if the orders were legitimate, Lordstown's ability to actually build the Endurance seemed far-fetched. Former employees told Hindenburg the company was still years away from production. In fact, Lordstown hadn't even conducted its first road test until January 2021, more than 6 months after opening pre-orders. That test lasted about 10 minutes before the prototype burst into flames.
Your car is on fire?
Yeah.
Okay, so what kind of vehicle is it? What kind?
It's an LFC, Lordstown Motors electric vehicle.
Meanwhile, as all of this was unfolding behind the scenes, company executives were reportedly quietly dumping as much as $28 million of their own stock, while retail investors continued buying into the Lordstown hype. When Hindenburg finally exposed the company with its report, it would be those retail investors who would almost certainly be the ones left holding the bag.
A new research report electrified Wall Street, but took the charge out of Lordstown Motors in the process. Its stock flopped 16% today.
The Hindenburg report also says former employees described CEO Steve Burns as a con man. Burns told the Wall Street Journal the report contained half-truths and lies.
Despite Steve Burns' assertions that the Hindenburg report was inaccurate and motivated by the research firm's own short position, it did little to stop the bleeding. Lordstown Motors' stock price continued its free fall in the days that followed, even after Burns held a press conference on March 15th, wearing a hard hat to announce that production of the Endurance was still proceeding according to schedule. When asked about the Hindenburg report, the 62-year-old CEO of a publicly traded company said, quote, "There's always haters.
There's always haters. I quoted Taylor Swift as somebody the other day. Haters are going to hate, 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 hate. So you got to shake it off."
Lordstown Motors was unable to shake it off. As the Securities and Exchange Commission began investigating the company's misleading statements, its market value continued to collapse. And by June 2021, Lordstown warned that it lacked the funding to begin commercial production of the Endurance and faced a real risk of bankruptcy. CEO Steve Burns resigned a week later. The company tried to stay afloat by selling the former GM factory to Taiwanese electronics giant Foxconn, which agreed to assemble the Endurance. But that partnership soon unraveled after Lordstown was forced to recall 19 of its first 31 manufactured trucks because of electrical issues.
Lordstown Motors, the startup that built a lot of hype around its electric vehicle, has filed for bankruptcy and put itself up for sale. It's also suing a company it says backed out of a deal that would have kept it in business.
In the end, the company that had once been valued at $5 billion delivered just 6 trucks before filing for bankruptcy in June 2023. The SEC later charged Lordstown Motors with misleading investors. The case ended in a civil settlement after the company agreed to pay up to $10 million to investors, roughly 4.5 cents per share, without admitting wrongdoing. No criminal charges were ever filed, not even against former CEO Steve Burns, who eventually bought back much of Lordstown Motors' intellectual property at a bankruptcy auction. The vaporware dream lives on. But what makes the story even more remarkable is that it wasn't unique. Just 1 year earlier, another zero-emission vehicle startup had followed nearly the exact same playbook and even featured some of the same players. That company was called Nikola Motor Company, and the parallels, I think you will find, are quite astonishing. Only in Nikola's case, the personalities are bigger, the deception bolder, the greed greater, and the miscarriage of justice even more disgusting. A charismatic entrepreneur with a revolutionary idea builds a multi-billion dollar business on little more than smoke, mirrors, and a hill on this episode of Swindled.
They bribed government officials,
accounting clear violations of federal and state law,
clearly unethical,
paid to play millions of taxpayer dollars that were wasted,
paid tens of millions of dollars, $1 million,
dummied up its books and records,
falsifying its books and records,
responsible for the collapse of the entire system.
In the role of some kind of swindler.
Support for Swindled comes from Simply Safe. In the US, there's a break-in every 26 seconds. That means somewhere, right now, an intruder is getting closer. The problem is that most home security systems only alert you after a break-in has already started. And by then, the damage may have already been done. That's why I chose Simply Safe. Using the Outdoor Camera Series 2 and advanced AI alerts, SimpliSafe's U.S.-based live agents can identify threats on your property and help deter them before they become break-ins. That's real peace of mind. One thing I really appreciate is how simple the whole experience is. Setup was quick, there are no long-term contracts, and monitoring plans start at around $1 a day. Whether I'm away for the weekend or just hearing a strange noise outside at night, it's reassuring to know there's a system actively looking out for my home. I want you to experience the same peace of mind I do, which is why I've partnered with SimpliSafe to offer an exclusive discount to my listeners. Right now, you can get 50% off your new system by visiting simplisafe.com/swindled. That's half off at simplisafe.com/swindled. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Ever since I was a child, I was very interested in business. I originally came from Utah. I was born in Layton, Utah. My father was a Union Pacific Railroad guy. He managed the railroad. That's where my love for locomotive semi-trucks came from, being a dream of mine since I was 6 years old, driving locomotive locomotives and wanting to build a locomotive semi-truck. And that is a little bit about who Trevor is, just a quick 30,000 foot overview.
Trevor Milton says he knew from childhood that he was destined to reinvent the semi-truck, that every experience in his life thereafter had been preparing him for that moment, including an early one that he'd rather not have experienced at all. When Trevor was 8 years old, his mother Sally was diagnosed with cancer. He says he spent the next 6 years watching her slowly wither away before she died in 1997. Understandably, that trauma had a profound effect on his childhood. Trevor struggled to focus, eventually dropped out of high school, and settled for a GED. But he has said watching his mother battle her illness and the forced self-reliance that followed taught him something more valuable than any classroom ever could: how to fight and how to survive.
I remember so many times where she would get up and try to get out of bed and she would fall and just start bawling, you know, because she just would never give up. This woman was the greatest inspiration of my life, and she would never, ever give up.
After high school, Trevor tried college, but quickly gave up. He dropped out of Utah Valley State College after a single semester. Instead, he credits the most influential chapter of his early life to the 18 months he spent serving a mission in Brazil for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The mission was cut short after he nearly lost an arm, Trevor claims, but not before he had honed what would ultimately become his greatest skill. Turns out, spending a year and a half pitching Christianity to strangers in a foreign language was excellent preparation for a career in sales. Trevor soon put those skills to work. He spent a few months in Puerto Rico selling alarm systems door-to-door before returning to Southwest Utah in 2003 to apply his trade there. Trevor took over an ADT security services franchise called St. George Security and Alarm. He was just 20 years old.
You know, the whole door-to-door thing back in the early 2000s. Within about a year or two, I had sold it for almost $2 million, and I thought I was like on top of the world. You know, I was like, oh, I'm like expert at this thing.
Trevor Milton reinvested the proceeds from the sale of St. George into a new project, a classified ads website called UPillar that eventually launched in the summer of 2009. UPillar will become the largest competitor to eBay in the next 1 to 2 years, Milton declared. And at first, his premonition appeared accurate. By Trevor's count, the website was generating 80 million monthly users at one point. But unfortunately, UPillar was doomed to fail. It was just so far ahead of its time, according to Trevor. Plus, Utah was no Silicon Valley.
We beat Amazon, we beat eBay. We were growing, we had 80 million people on our site. And ultimately, we would have ended up being Amazon, but we were in Utah, and at the time, Utah had no clue what investment was around the internet. So we just grew too fast.
In Trevor's mind, even his failures were successes. He's always several steps ahead of everyone else. In fact, by the time UPillar shut down in 2012, he had already decided on his next move. It was almost as if the website had been destined to flop, so Trevor could finally pursue what he believed was his true calling: reinventing the wheel, or at least reinventing the way wheels are powered in commercial trucks. Milton teamed up with an acquaintance who had developed a way to convert diesel engines to run on compressed natural gas simultaneously. The new company, DeHybrid Incorporated, quickly gained traction. It even signed a $16 million agreement with one of the nation's largest trucking companies, Swift Transportation, to convert up to 800 vehicles in its fleet. According to Trevor, DeHybrid eventually secured more than $100 million in contracts before an investor stole the company's intellectual property, which triggered a wave of litigation that ultimately forced Trevor and his partner to close the company down.
Where we ended up having to close that company down, not because of our fault, but primarily because people wanted our IP and they came after us and sued us for it. And I didn't have the resources or the people to defend me at the time. So that was another one. I mean, to have back-to-back failures, it was like, man, it's almost like a 1-2 knockout punch, you know?
Trevor fell flat on his face again. It would have been so easy to quit right then and there. Trevor could have just given up his entrepreneurial dreams and gotten a regular job. He could have gone back to selling alarm systems, maybe even gone back to school. But then Trevor says he thought about his mother. She never stopped fighting in the face of impossible odds. He would never be able to live with himself if he didn't do the same. Trevor Milton reformed and relaunched DeHybrid, and in less than 2 years, the new version of the company was acquired. In 2014, Columbus-based manufacturing giant Worthington Industries agreed to purchase DeHybrid Systems for $16 million. Worthington actually came away so impressed that it was willing to back Trevor's next venture before he'd even decided what it was. But given his impressive track record, that didn't seem to matter. Worthington recognized a talented entrepreneur when they saw one. And when he did finally unveil his vision for the future, people became convinced that Trevor Milton was about to change the world.
Yeah, so we started, pretty much when I first founded the company, I funded the first few million dollars myself, brought in an investor called Worthington Industries that bought my previous company. They funded it with a few million dollars. So we just had a pretty small budget, you know, it was $4 or $5 million when we first started. We were working out of my basement at my house.
Trevor Milton moved to Salt Lake City to launch his new company, which was initially called Blue Gen Tech. But then he remembered a name he had reserved a decade earlier while still selling alarm systems. Nikola Motors, as in Nikola Tesla. Trevor swears it has nothing to do with Tesla Motors, which was founded just weeks after he came up with his own brand to honor the Serbian engineer. Just a weird coincidence. Anyway, like DeHybrid, Nikola's original business plan revolved around compressed natural gas. But this time, instead of retrofitting existing vehicles, Trevor planned to build his own fleet of futuristic semi-trucks and lease them directly to customers. A natural gas-powered turbine would generate electricity for electric motors, eliminating the traditional diesel drivetrain altogether. Our technology is 10 to 15 years ahead of any other OEM in fuel efficiencies, MPG, and emissions, Trevor proclaimed in a 2016 press release. To sweeten the deal, the first 5,000 customers would receive enough free natural gas to power their trucks for 1 million miles. Those 5,000 reservations came in quickly, proving there was an appetite for what had been dubbed the Nikola One. But then, in a shocking twist, just 3 months before the truck's unveiling in December 2016, Trevor Milton scrapped the entire concept. The turbine electric truck was dead, he announced to his staff and board. Nikola would build a hydrogen electric semi instead. The announcement stunned nearly everyone involved. They were like, no way, Trevor later recalled. You've already got millions of dollars into this turbine. The truck is ready to go. What are you thinking, man? I'm thinking forward, Trevor insisted. I'm a visionary. You see, while the company had been developing its turbine prototype, he explained, hydrogen fuel cell technology had advanced enough to make the most ideal vehicle possible. Hydrogen is much lighter than a battery electric equivalent, which is especially attractive for long-haul trucking. So is refueling, which would take minutes instead of hours to recharge. And at the tailpipe, a hydrogen fuel cell emits nothing but water vapor and heat. So if the hydrogen itself was produced using renewable electricity, the entire process could, in theory, be virtually emissions-free, something neither natural gas nor batteries could claim. It was the holy grail of clean transportation. Well, if hydrogen is so great, why hasn't anyone tried it before? They have, Trevor scolded his colleagues. but it's never been widely adopted for various reasons. First and foremost, the cost. Not only to produce dispensable hydrogen, which requires a massive amount of electricity, but also to build the required infrastructure that would make owning a hydrogen-powered vehicle practical. In other words, nobody bought hydrogen vehicles because there were no hydrogen fueling stations, and nobody built hydrogen fueling stations because there were no hydrogen vehicles. But Trevor, sir, all of these, let's call them barriers to entry, still exist. I'm not sure we can make it work. You shut your mouth, Trevor Milton scolded, offended by the notion that he hadn't already thought through every angle. We can and will build everything, he demanded. The trucks.
Vertically integrated.
The fueling stations.
Vertically integrated.
The hydrogen production facilities.
Vertically integrated.
The entire ecosystem.
Vertically integrate the entire ecosystem.
A vertically integrated undertaking so ambitious that it would require solving problems that had stumped the world's largest automakers and energy companies for decades. Trust me, Trevor said. I've already solved it.
There's no one better than me that I've ever found that can see more equations and more solutions, more problems, like, and I can dissect those things within seconds.
And I'm usually 5 to 10 years ahead thinking around problems that are coming our way that are not here yet.
I definitely am a visionary, there's no doubt. I love to see into the future. I love to fix complicated problems. I love to vertically integrate.
But surprisingly, Trevor Milton couldn't do it alone. So he put together what he described as one of the best teams in the world, most of whom had little to no experience in the automotive industry, which is exactly what the project required. I needed people who believed anything was possible, Trevor told Forbes. People who did not have automotive experience to limit us by being bound to what had been done in the past. I essentially needed people equally as naive as myself. Not that he had much of a choice. All of the legacy automakers basically laughed Trevor out of the room when he solicited them as partners in his grandiose hydrogen ecosystem idea. Even Elon Musk, a man who had once reinvented the subway but with cars, had dismissed hydrogen fuel cells as fool cells and called them mind-boggling stupid. That's fine, Trevor Milton said to himself, trying not to cry. He would get the last laugh. In fact, he had it on his calendar. December 1st and 2nd, 2016, the launch event at Nikola's headquarters in Salt Lake City, where he would unveil the Nikola One prototype to an invite-only crowd of 600 guests, including media, potential customers, suppliers, industry partners, and government officials. Design unveiling or functional prototype, someone asked on Twitter. Functioning, fully built truck at event, Trevor replied.
We've built something that no one else thought was possible. And we've done it with a team of passionate, driven, young entrepreneurs all put into one incredible team here at Nikola. This is to all the thinkers and the inventors and the entrepreneurs that didn't stop after their first failure. It was the same thing here. We failed, we failed, we failed. And then we succeeded.
Over the course of the 2-day event, Trevor Milton officially introduced Nikola to the world, and he explained how his vision extended far beyond a semi-truck, starting with the coast-to-coast network of 700 hydrogen fueling stations they planned to strategically build along the routes of customers who committed to leasing Nikola's trucks. The fueling network wasn't just part of Nikola's business plan, Trevor explained. It was the business plan. It would power not only Nikola's trucks, but eventually every hydrogen-powered vehicle that followed. Cool, but what about the truck? Show us the truck, man. When the lights turned back on, the white sheet covering the 13-foot-tall prototype was lifted and the platform began to spin. On display was a white semi with U.S. Express branding and its trademark red and blue stripes. There was an additional decal that read, H2 Zero Emission Hydrogen Electric. The Nikola One was the first of its kind, Trevor Milton emphasized earlier in the presentation. A zero-emission, 1,000-horsepower hydrogen-fueled semi-truck with 2,000 pounds of torque that can haul 80,000 pounds more than 1,000 miles without stopping. Production would begin in 2020, Milton announced. The company anticipated demand so overwhelming that they would never be able to catch up.
We will have a chain on the seats to prevent people from coming in just for the safety. I don't want someone to end up doing something and driving this truck off the stage. And this truck will come to market, I can promise you that. For every doubter out there that said that there's no way this is true. How can that be possible? We've done it. It's my pleasure to actually let you guys enjoy the night, see the truck, know it's real, touch it, feel how sturdy it is. You're gonna see that this is a real truck. This is not a pusher. Thank you so much, everyone. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Trevor Milton later described that event as a drop the mic moment. He had heard it all. These guys are vaporware. They're fake, they're frauds, they're liars.
Like all these, you know, these wonderful comments.
Afterward, he said, every automaker in the world was terrified and started spending billions of dollars trying to catch up. But it was already too late. Based on what Nikola had planned for the years ahead, Trevor Milton had already left them in the dust. The company would eventually announce 5 additional vehicles, including a hydrogen-powered semi-truck specifically for Europe, a battery electric power sports division that included a jet ski, a utility task vehicle, and a military-grade tactical off-highway vehicle. And finally, there was the Nikola Badger, a zero-emission pickup truck with the option of battery electric or hydrogen.
And this thing is insanity. It is the most beautiful truck I think the world has ever seen. It's a fully functioning vehicle, inside, outside, HVAC, everything, you know, windows, everything, all of it works. I shouldn't say all of it. I'll probably have a couple pieces on a brake on me, but hey, that's part of the process of building the truck, but it's a real, real truck. It's not just some mock-up thing that other people have done. This is a real, real truck.
There were also some real, real hydrogen fueling stations in the works, some real breakthroughs in battery technology. There were some real partnerships being made with companies like Bosch and Anheuser-Busch, and there was some real progress being made on the Nikola factory just outside of Phoenix, where 35,000 vehicles a year would be manufactured by 2023. Most importantly, there was some real investment money flooding into the company, driven by the billions it had already generated in pre-sales, and by Milton's claim that he was able to produce hydrogen at a cost lower than purchasing diesel. By the end of 2019, Nikola had raised more than $500 million through private offerings from investors such as Jeff Ubben of ValueAct Capital Management, who publicly claimed Nikola would be worth $100 billion in the near future.
I mean, this is a $100 billion company.
$100 billion company
because it's solving the biggest problem, which is decarbonizing transport fuel. That's the biggest problem.
But Nikola would need substantially more capital to fully realize its plans. Fortunately, there was a shortcut. On June 4th, 2020, Nikola became a publicly traded company through a SPAC merger with a shell company called Vecto IQ, founded by former General Motors executive Stephen Gursky.
I want to thank all the governments and all the investors that have made this possible. It's now my opportunity and my pleasure to count down to the ringing of the bell for the NASDAQ with Nikola Motor Company.
In the days that followed, Nikola's stock price more than doubled, thanks in part to the promotional blitz Trevor Milton had embarked on. He appeared on seemingly every cable business news broadcast and podcast with the words truck or market in the title, pitching Nikola as more than just another automaker. It was a new kind of company altogether, he explained, an energy technology company, one led by a founder who welcomed scrutiny, engaged directly with critics and supporters on social media, and wasn't afraid to tell investors exactly what he was thinking. The little guys, the Robin Hood investors, as he called them, were precisely the people he wanted buying Nikola's stock. And his efforts worked. The pre-revenue company, which had yet to earn a single dollar, reached a market capitalization of nearly $30 billion, surpassing Ford Motor Company, the 117-year-old automaker that had generated $115 billion in revenue that year. Irrational or not, Trevor Milton became an overnight billionaire. As Nikola's executive chairman and largest shareholder, his stake in the company was suddenly worth more than $7 billion. Although Mark Russell, a longtime Nikola executive and fellow instant billionaire, now held the title of CEO, Nikola remained, in every meaningful sense, Trevor's company, He was still the public face and biggest promoter of its extraordinary promises, and he was just getting started. The next 4 or 5 years, Trevor predicted, is going to be one of the greatest stories ever told.
The following is a paid advertisement for the Swindle Valued Listener Rewards Program.
Are you tired of hearing advertisements in Swindle like this one? Do you wish there was more Swindled content to distract you from your miserable existence? Don't settle for those other inferior podcasts with the annoying hosts who laugh at their own jokes. Become a Swindled Valued Listener today to receive easy access to new episodes and exclusive access to bonus episodes that are not available anywhere else. Completely advertisement free. It's fun for the whole family, but don't take our word for it.
Hi, I just wanted to call and say how grateful I am for the Swindle Value Listener Program. I've been sitting here at the airport for about 4 days now waiting on my lover Svetlana to touch down. She meant to text someone else, but luckily she punched in my number instead. How lucky am I? I sent her about $60,000, and it's going to be worth every penny. Much like this Valued Listener program.
Millions of Swindled fans have discovered the secret of becoming a valued listener. Try it in your own home today. Also, act now to receive the Valued News for Valued Listeners update show at no extra cost. That's a $5,000 value for one easy monthly payment of $4.99.
Go to valuedlistener.com to sign up using Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Patreon. No long-term commitments, satisfaction guaranteed, foreign currency accepted, cancel anytime. Please, just give us your money.
Support for Swindled comes from Simply Safe. In the U.S., there's a break-in every 26 seconds. That means somewhere, right now, an intruder is getting closer. The problem is that most home security systems only alert you after a break-in has already started. And by then, the damage may have already been done. That's why I chose Simply Safe. Using the Outdoor Camera Series 2 and advanced AI alerts, SimpliSafe's US-based live agents can identify threats on your property and help deter them before they become break-ins. That's real peace of mind. One thing I really appreciate is how simple the whole experience is. Setup was quick, there are no long-term contracts, and monitoring plans start at around $1 a day. Whether I'm away for the weekend or just hearing a strange noise outside at night, it's reassuring to know there's a system actively looking out for my home. I want you to experience the same peace of mind I do, which is why I've partnered with Simply Safe to offer an exclusive discount to my listeners. Right now, you can get 50% off your new system by visiting simplysafe.com/swindled. That's half off at simplysafe.com/swindled. There's no safe like Simply Safe. Support for Swindled comes from Simply Safe. In the U.S., there's a break-in every 26 seconds. That means somewhere, right now, an intruder is getting closer. The problem is that most home security systems only alert you after a break-in has already started. And by then, the damage may have already been done. That's why I chose Simply Safe. Using the Outdoor Camera Series 2 and advanced AI alerts, Simply Safe's U.S.-based live agents can identify threats on your property and help deter them before they become break-ins. That's real peace of mind. One thing I really appreciate is how simple the whole experience is. Setup was quick, there are no long-term contracts, and monitoring plans start at around $1 a day. Whether I'm away for the weekend or just hearing a strange noise outside at night, it's reassuring to know there's a system actively looking out for my home. I want you to experience the same peace of mind I do, which is why I've partnered with Simply Safe to offer an exclusive discount to my listeners. Right now, you can get 50% off your new system by visiting simplysafe.com/swindled. That's half off at simplysafe.com/swindled. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
It is the new hot electric vehicle stock, Nikola, roaring higher. It is now up 96% since its June 4th debut. At one point last week, it had a market cap bigger than that of Ford Motor.
We allowed retail investors to come in, and they get a ride the ride with us. Now, it's very volatile. But they get to ride the ride with us. And that's the advantage. It's not just big humongous funds that are buying all your stock and they get all the upside. The regular person gets to be part of the Nikola story now. And that's a brand new model that no one's ever really done before until now.
On June 17th, 2020, less than 2 weeks after Nikola Motors went public, the company hit its first speed bump. It came in the form of a Bloomberg News article with the headline, "Nikola founder exaggerated the capability of his debut truck." Reporter Ed Ludlow had spoken with several former Nikola employees who claimed the Nikola One, unveiled in 2016, was inoperable and missing key components. That might be an understatement. According to the Bloomberg article, the truck was towed onto the stage at night before the event because the gears and motors had not been installed. There was no hydrogen fuel cell on board. The sleek infotainment display was nothing more than an iPad showing a static mock-up image. Even the headlights were powered by external battery and operated with a remote control. Remember, in the weeks leading up to the unveiling, throughout the event itself, and for years afterward, Trevor Milton had repeatedly described the Nikola One as a fully functioning truck. He'd even joked that chains had been strung across the dashboard to keep people from driving it off the stage.
Sure, I mean, this is a fully functioning vehicle. It's not just a pusher. It's what they call in the automotive world, a vehicle that they just push and it doesn't move.
But now, Trevor Milton was telling a different story in a phone interview with Bloomberg, excerpts of which appeared in the article. He acknowledged that the Nikola One hadn't driven under its own power. The motors and gears, he said, had been removed for safety reasons. There wasn't a fuel cell in the truck, Milton admitted. We never claimed there was. Then he added, I never deceived anyone. Within hours of the article's publication, Trevor was lashing out on Twitter. This is sad, he wrote. Ed Ludlow should be let go. He will never set foot in my building or events Nikola puts on. No one in Bloomberg either. Trevor demanded the news organization release the full recording of the interview, insisting the reporter had twisted his words. He ruined Bloomberg's good name, he continued. I don't back down, and I'm happy to take this fight on. There were no gears and motors missing, you jack job. They were sitting on the table to show the audience in person. Why would we have them in the truck if we weren't going to drive it? Shortly afterward, Milton proudly texted a member of Nikola's board. Share value went up after my response.
Was it in fact a sort of a fake truck show in 2016?
I mean, the answer was, is every part on that truck was functionable. We just didn't feel safe driving it at that time. Now, it was all operable, but it wasn't really that safe. Like, it could have killed someone in the audience.
Over the next several days, Trevor embarked on another media tour, insisting Bloomberg had gotten the story wrong. But the criticisms and skepticism of Nikola kept coming. Trevor was adamant that it didn't bother him. Then he would do things like publicly announce that Nikola was actively tracking negative tweets about the company, which he claimed were the work of paid agitators. The rest, he figured, were butthurt Tesla fans who simply couldn't accept that there was another genius in the zero-emission game that could rival Elon Musk.
There's very few people that can out Elon in this world, and that, and I'm one of them. I have no problem with him. I think you know what he's done is awesome. But it's kind of hard when for his followers to see someone that can actually build something bigger or more competitive than what he has. So that's why we get a lot of that hate sometimes.
But at the end of the day, the hate hardly mattered. Nikola was on a roll, and everything appeared to be unfolding exactly as Trevor Milton had promised. Construction had begun on the company's $600 million manufacturing facility in Arizona, complete with what Nikola claimed would become the largest hydrogen fueling station in the Western Hemisphere. Reservations for the Badger pickup were steadily coming in, and Republic Services had just announced an order worth billions of dollars for hydrogen electric garbage trucks, bringing Nikola's total amount of pre-orders to more than $10 billion. Or letters of intent, whatever.
No, real quick, I want to correct something. Not letter intents, they're actually contracts.
We've contracts, got it.
Yeah, billions and billions of dollars worth of contracts. So I want to be clear about that because a lot of people thought that it's just like a non-committal thing. It's not. These are like signed on the dotted line, billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars in orders. Now, we have to deliver, and they can get out if we don't deliver, but that's how it is with any contract you do in life.
Right.
Trevor Milton had no doubt Nikola would deliver. In fact, he insisted the company's biggest announcement was still to come. During the summer of 2020, he teased that the next 4 months would be the best 4 months in Nikola history. I would not bet against Nikola at all, he advised. Trevor himself certainly wasn't. That summer, he had spent $83.5 million on an airplane and an estate in Turks and Caicos. The purchases came on the heels of another lavish acquisition, a $32.5 million ranch in Utah, reportedly the most expensive residential property ever sold in the state. The 16,000-square-foot mansion sat on more than 2,000 acres along the Weber River and featured its own helipad, allowing Trevor and his wife Chelsea to fly themselves back and forth to Salt Lake City whenever they pleased. So much for zero emissions, I guess. Clearly, Trevor Milton was living and spending like someone who wasn't worried a bit about the future. Then on September 8th, 2020, everyone else found out why.
Good morning, everyone. It's super early, 3:30 in the morning. I was up here in Arizona. So I just wanted to tell everyone real quick between my interviews, humongous announcement today. Nikola and General Motors have partnered to build the Nikola Badger and to leverage their entire supply chain, batteries, fuel cell, everything else. Absolutely wonderful. We're going to kick some ass. Couldn't be more excited. Hope you guys have a great day. I'll try to come back on later, but back to back on interviews right now.
It was true. In exchange for an 11% equity stake valued at roughly $2 billion and a seat on Nikola's board, General Motors agreed to a 10-year partnership to engineer and manufacture the Badger pickup. Nikola's stock surged another 50%. This will allow Nikola to achieve things Nikola could never do on its own, Trevor said during a conference call. It's a win-win, GM CEO Mary Barra agreed. It was undoubtedly the biggest moment in Nikola's history, and it lasted about 48 hours.
While Tesla is higher today, Nikola shares are tumbling after a short seller called the company, quote, an intricate fraud built on dozens of lies.
On September 10th, 2020, after a year-long investigation sparked by two former Nikola contractors turned whistleblowers, Hindenburg Research published a report titled Nikola, How to Parlay an Ocean of Lies into a Partnership with the Largest Auto OEM in America. The short-selling firm's investigation concluded that Trevor Milton's revolutionary transportation company was an intricate fraud. Quote, we have never seen this level of deception at a public company, especially of this size. The report alleged that nearly every aspect of Nikola's story had been exaggerated or fabricated, from its manufacturing capabilities and proprietary battery technology to its pre-orders and the solar panels that supposedly powered its headquarters. One of the report's most explosive claims centered on a promotional video Nikola had posted in January 2018. The footage appeared to show the Nikola One cruising through the Utah desert under its own power. According to the whistleblowers, at that time, the truck still couldn't propel itself a year after it was shown off on stage. Instead, it had been towed to the top of a long, gently sloping road, released and allowed to roll downhill. Nikola allegedly rotated the resulting footage to hide the incline, increased the playback speed by 2 to 3 times, and posted the video online with the caption, Behold, the 1,000 horsepower, zero-emission Nikola semi-truck in motion. It was a sensational allegation that was sure to grab the most headlines, but it wasn't nearly the most damaging. Trevor Milton had spent years claiming Nikola had solved one of hydrogen's greatest obstacles, producing it cheaply enough to make a nationwide fueling network economically viable. It was the bread and butter of Nikola's business, after all. But according to Hindenburg, Nikola had produced exactly 0 kilograms of hydrogen. Zero. The company didn't even have the permits necessary to produce it. So Hindenburg began looking at the people Trevor Milton had assembled to solve one of the world's most difficult engineering challenges. We expected to find that Nikola had hired a world-renowned scientist to lead its revolutionary hydrogen efforts, the report read. Instead, it appears Nikola had appointed Trevor Milton's brother, Travis, a former concrete contractor. The deeper Hindenburg looked, the stranger and funnier Nikola's roster became. The company's, quote, hydrogen expert, Dale Prowse, had previously managed a golf course in Idaho. Chief engineer Kevin Link's resume included software development and 9 recent months repairing pinball machines. Keep in mind, this was the same company Wall Street had briefly valued higher than Ford. Hindenburg rejected the idea that Nikola's claims were merely optimistic projections or harmless startup hype. The firm concluded they were part of a deliberate pattern of deception, protected by a culture of secrecy and intimidation. "We think Trevor Milton is incapable of telling the truth," the report stated. "We believe he lies like most people breathe." The report also dug into Trevor's previous ventures and found inflated alarm contracts at St. George Security, exaggerated claims that UPillar was competing with Amazon and eBay, and allegations that he had cut the inventor of D-Hybrid's technology and early investors out of the company's eventual sale. Former colleagues all described Trevor Milton the same way, as a snake. Still, Hindenburg left the final word to Trevor. The report concluded with 53 questions that, in its view, investors deserved answered. The last one was the most straightforward. Have you ever deceived anyone?
What's up, everyone? So the other day I got a heads up from someone inside who was like, "Hey, just want to let you know, this Hindenburg company that I got connections with is doing a total hit job on you, trying to destroy you and ruin your life, and is going to make a ton of allegations around everything you've done wrong in your life and your past." And I was like, you know, I get this all the time, all the time. This one is obviously a little bit different. They spent, you know, a ton of time, a ton of research, and paid a bunch of people to give them access to emails and different things, whatever. Long story short is none of it even really matters. I'm gonna address each point individually in a response. But it goes to show you that when you're changing the world and you're doing good things and you're an entrepreneur, these people love to try to take you down. They love it. But this was all about money and greed. 44 million shares were shorted, according to one of the documents, the reports. I'll respond to everyone. So you'll see my link come up soon. It's going to take me a few hours to get through this. There's a whole pages of bullshit. So it's going to take me some time. But I'll have the response for you guys. Have a great day. I'll catch you up a little bit later.
Trevor Milton's fans and critics alike were sitting on pins and needles, anxiously awaiting his rebuttal in full. But those few hours passed without a response, then a whole day, until finally another string of Instagram stories posted to Trevor's profile.
Hey, what's up, everyone? So first of all, you know, I never take any bullshit. I come straight at everything I ever have done. Never back down on anything.
And then he backed down. Rather than answering Hindenburg's 53 questions, Trevor announced that Nikola's lawyers had advised the company to proactively contact the Securities and Exchange Commission regarding the allegations. So unfortunately, his hands were tied and his lips were sealed. He just wanted everyone to know how painful that was.
They're lies. Every single thing in there was bullshit. I have all the rebuttals done. It drives me nuts that I can't send them out to you guys. But look, I want you to know that it sucks. It hurts. I know. I'm super mad, and there's nothing I can do about it for a little bit, okay? Yeah, give me some time. It's not in my hands. It's in the hands of the attorneys and the SEC. So let them do their part for just a little bit. I know it's going to hurt, but when we come out of it, everyone will be like, listen, for my language, fuck those people. They're shitty people. All this was lies, and it was slander against Nikola to make hundreds or tens of millions of dollars of profit on short selling. But I can tell you right now that they are lies. 99% of them are all lies.
The market responded to the Hindenburg report in predictable fashion. Despite Nikola dismissing it as a, quote, hit job for short sell profit driven by greed, the company's stock fell 36% in just 2 days, wiping billions of dollars off its market value, and there was plenty of room to lose more. All eyes fixed on General Motors. Just 2 days earlier, the automaker had agreed to partner with Nikola. Would GM stand by the embattled startup and weather the storm? Or would it admit that it had made a costly mistake and pull the plug? As it turns out, that decision would almost be made for them.
Trevor Milton, the founder of electric truck company Nikola, is voluntarily stepping down as executive chairman and giving up his board seat. This move comes after short seller Hindenburg Research accused Milton of making false statements about Nikola's technology in order to try and grow and secure partnerships with automakers. Both the Justice Department and the SEC are investigating allegations made by Hindenburg.
On September 20th, 2020, in the face of multiple federal investigations, Trevor Milton voluntarily stepped down as executive chairman of the board of the company he founded. Nikola is truly in my blood and always will be, Milton said in a statement posted to social media. The focus should be on the company and its world-changing mission, not me. I intend to defend myself against false allegations levied against me by outside detractors. It was quite a pivot. 2 weeks earlier, Trevor was righteously indignant, ready to fight, never backing down, etc., etc. And now he's just throwing in the towel. Was Trevor Milton really leaving because of the Hindenburg report? Or maybe he knew that an even bigger skeleton was about to fall out of its closet. Support for Swindled comes from Simply Safe. In the US, there's a break-in every 26 seconds. That means somewhere, right now, an intruder is getting closer. The problem is that most home security systems only alert you after a break-in has already started. And by then, the damage may have already been done. That's why I chose Simply Safe. Using the Outdoor Camera Series 2 and advanced AI alerts, Simply Safe's US-based live agents can identify threats on your property and help deter them before they become break-ins. That's real peace of mind. One thing I really appreciate is how simple the whole experience is. Setup was quick, there are no long-term contracts, and monitoring plans start at around $1 a day. Whether I'm away for the weekend or just hearing a strange noise outside at night, it's reassuring to know there's a system actively looking out for my home. I want you to experience the same peace of mind I do, which is why I've partnered with Simply Safe to offer an exclusive discount to my listeners. Right now, you can get 50% off your new system by visiting simplysafe.com/swindled. That's half off at simplysafe.com/swindled. There's no safe like Simply Safe. Support for Swindled comes from Simply Safe. In the US, there's a break-in every 26 seconds. That means somewhere, right now, an intruder is getting closer. The problem is that most home security systems only alert you after a break-in has already started. And by then, the damage may have already been done. That's why I chose Simply Safe. Using the Outdoor Camera Series 2 and advanced AI alerts, Simply Safe's US-based live agents can identify threats on your property and help deter them before they become break-ins. That's real peace of mind. One thing I really appreciate is how simple the whole experience is. Setup was quick, there are no long-term contracts, and monitoring plans start at around $1 a day. Whether I'm away for the weekend or just hearing a strange noise outside at night, it's reassuring to know there's a system actively looking out for my home. I want you to experience the same peace of mind I do, which is why I've partnered with Simply Safe to offer an exclusive discount to my listeners. Right now, you can get 50% off your new system by visiting simplysafe.com/swindled. That's half off at simplysafe.com/swindled. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Johnny Robb was 30 years old. He had a rich social life, and even though he did not come from money, he also made rich friends.
He had mentioned he had a friend that was starting up a company and it had to do something with electric trucks.
Trevor Milton, the founder of Nikola Motor Company, is a billionaire. In 2019, he set a real estate record, purchasing the most expensive home in Utah.
I remember Johnny said one day, I'm sure he'll be really wealthy.
But according to Johnny, as the two spent plenty of time and trips together, he started to learn how Trevor treated women.
Jonathan Howard Robb and Trevor Milton had been close friends for almost 15 years. Even after their lives began to wildly diverge, the two kept in touch, at least for a while. Trevor, obviously, became unfathomably rich and successful, while Johnny struggled with a bipolar diagnosis and manic depression. Others say Johnny fell deep into hardcore drugs and lived on the streets. It's no wonder the two eventually drifted apart. A few years had passed with no communication between the old friends. And then in early April 2020, Trevor noticed Johnny had started tagging him in an Instagram post. Trevor clicked through.
Dude, I've hung on to every single dirty criminal secret with women that you've ever fucking done, dude. You've got like thousands of skeletons in your closet, and these skeletons want justice. I'm bringing it all out, dude. The truth. All of it. Every little bit of it now.
Trevor dismissed the post as the ramblings of a disgruntled and mentally ill former friend. But Johnny kept going. He accused Trevor of sexual assault. He alleged that Trevor had paid women to have sex with his friends while he watched. He claimed to possess screenshots of inappropriate conversations between Trevor and other women, maybe even minors. This billionaire entrepreneur and self-proclaimed visionary, Johnny insisted, was a creep and a fraud. And Johnny said he had the evidence to prove it. Trevor was fed up. He said he reached out to Johnny through direct messages, telling him to stop harassing him online. Johnny replied that he would, for $500,000. Trevor agreed. He later said he saw no other choice but to play along. The allegations were false, Trevor insisted. The screenshots fabricated, obviously. But in his view, merely being accused could permanently destroy his reputation. In this world, Trevor said, you're guilty no matter what when it comes to women. But before any money changed hands, Trevor went to the Summit County Sheriff's Office and reported that he was being extorted. The case was referred to investigators with the Utah Attorney General's Office for some reason. The recordings of the AG investigator's interview with Trevor were later obtained by Fox 13 in Utah.
I definitely opened up to him about a lot of things. Nothing that I've ever worried would come back and would be anything criminal. But the worst thing I ever did in my life was tell these girls to go hook up with other guys.
Johnny Robb was arrested in a sting operation on April 16th, 2020, at a hotel in Murray, Utah. Extortion? Johnny was beside himself. No, Trevor Milton offered me the $500,000. It was his idea. It was hush money.
Wait till you read what he's done to women, bro. It's justice, dude. I just have a bank full of this stuff, and he knows it.
How are we supposed to believe that that's true?
You got my phone? You go grab my phone. We'll pull it all up.
Just hang on to it.
Okay, just hang on.
Hang on to it. Let this all blow over. Once this is all blown over, do whatever in the hell you want with it.
Rather than pursuing Johnny's allegations against Trevor, investigators with the Utah Attorney General's office charged him with attempted theft by extortion. Johnny was arrested and spent the next 20 days in jail. The day after his release, on May 7th, 2020, Jonathan Howard Robb drove to one of his favorite spots in the mountains and died by suicide. He was 30 years old.
It was so hard because I tried to help him for months and months, and many of our friends tried to help him. And he just went off. That's what drugs. It's just so sad to see people get these drugs, dude. I don't know what.
Trevor Milton maintained that he had done everything he could to help his former friend. He claimed Johnny had been manipulated by his junkie friends who created fake social media accounts to convince him to blackmail a wealthy acquaintance. He further suggested that Johnny took his own life because Instagram had deleted his account after his arrest.
But they let him out because of COVID, and Instagram deleted his profile because he used it for extortion. And that was the only thing he had in his life was his followers. And he hung himself that night.
One detail Trevor Milton never mentions in his retelling is that before Johnny's arrest, he had donated $15,000 to the re-election campaign of Utah Attorney General Sean Reyes. After Fox 13 News uncovered the contribution and asked the Attorney General's office about it, the campaign promptly refunded the money. That was just one of the reasons Johnny's family and friends never accepted Trevor's version of events. They acknowledged Johnny's struggles, but reject the idea that he had fabricated the allegations out of thin air. They believed Johnny had been trying to expose something real, and that maybe one day he would be vindicated. Consider that your trigger warning.
Nicola founder Trevor Milton is in some more hot water this morning. A second woman has now come forward with formal sexual assault accusations against him. It comes just days after Milton stepped down as executive chairman of the electric truck maker amid fraud allegations by a short seller.
Just days after Trevor Milton resigned from Nikola, a woman named Aubrey Smith publicly accused him of sexually assaulting her in 1999 when she was 15 years old and he was 17. Aubrey was Trevor's cousin. She said the assault took place at an uncle's house following their grandfather's funeral where the family had gathered. According to Aubrey, she and Trevor eventually found themselves alone in a room after watching a movie. He told her he was taking a massage class at school and asked if she wanted one. He explained that everyone in the class removed their shirts. He was my cousin, Aubrey later wrote. Of course I could trust him. If I couldn't be safe with family, who could I trust? I took my shirt off.
And then he goes, yeah, in my class, the girls always take their bras off because the straps get in the way. And I froze. And as he said it, he undid my bra and took it off. And he groped me and somebody eventually knocked on the door.
Aubrey told her mother what had happened. Her mother would later confirm her daughter's account to CNBC. Aubrey said she also reported the incident to the LDS bishop in her hometown, who quickly did absolutely nothing. In the years that followed, Aubrey wrote publicly about the experience without naming Trevor. After the Hindenburg report and Trevor's resignation from Nikola, she decided it was time to do so. The recent revelations, she said, pretty much confirmed what she had long believed, that Trevor Milton was a sociopath, a narcissist, and a pathological liar, and that other people needed to know. Unfortunately, several of them already did.
The second incident allegedly took place in 2004, and this is a woman who claimed that she was 15 at the time, and she had been hired by Milton to be an assistant at the security firm which he had at the time.
In 2004, the unnamed woman had worked as an office assistant for Trevor Milton's security company in St. George. She was 15. He was 22. She said Trevor, her boss, would often give her a ride home. And one day he reportedly found out his young employee had ditched school, so he told her he wouldn't tell anyone as long as she stayed late and watched a movie with him in the office's back room. Ultimately, Trevor ended up, quote, digitally penetrating her.
I never worked for him another day, and I went home ashamed.
A third woman came forward with a similar story after Aubrey's account and the second woman's allegations hit the news. She alleged that Trevor Milton sexually assaulted her in 2011. At the time, she was an 18-year-old model whom Trevor had hired for a U-Pillar photo shoot. Coincidentally, the shoot was out of town, she said. And coincidentally, Trevor had booked only a single hotel room. That night, according to the woman, Trevor climbed into her bed and groped her against her will. She said she pushed him away, and Trevor allegedly became angry, berated her, and spent the rest of the night sleeping on the floor beside her. Screenshots later posted to Twitter appeared to capture part of a conversation between Trevor and the woman. "Did I make you uncomfortable?" Trevor asked. "Yes, multiple times." "That's freaking messed up," Trevor replied. "I'm really sorry. I need to be more careful. I shouldn't have ever come on to you. I should have just cuddled at most." By the time the allegations became public, the statute of limitations had expired in all three women's cases. Through a spokesperson, Trevor Milton denied what he called the false allegations. Nikola, the company, had no comment. It was too busy trying to chart a path to survival without its founder. Its partnerships with BP, which was unannounced, Republic Services, and eventually General Motors, all fell apart. The company announced it was scaling back its ambitions to focus on its core priorities. Investors were unimpressed. The stock price recoiled again on November 10, 2020, when Nikola revealed it had received a federal grand jury subpoena from the Department of Justice. There was just one thing this could mean.
"Today, we announce charges against Trevor Milton, former CEO and executive chair of Nikola Corporation. We charge that Milton engaged in a scheme to enrich himself by making false and misleading statements to retail investors about the development of products and technology at Nikola Corporation. This is a very straightforward case. Milton told lies to generate popular demand for Nikola stock, beginning at least in or about March 2020, when Nikola announced that its stock would become publicly listed. Milton became increasingly preoccupied with keeping Nikola's stock price high."
Trevor Milton was indicted on July 29, 2021. Federal prosecutors in the Southern District of New York charged him with 3 counts of securities fraud and 1 count of wire fraud, alleging that he had used social media, television appearances, and podcasts to saturate the market with false and misleading claims about Nikola in order to inflate the company's stock price. As Nikola's largest shareholder, Milton stood to profit personally from every increase in value. The indictment reads like a greatest hits compilation of his lies. Prosecutors cited the unveiling of the Nikola One, the infamous In Motion video, the company's non-existent hydrogen production capabilities, its inflated pre-order claims, and countless other misrepresentations that painted Nikola as a revolutionary company years before it could deliver on its promises. Prosecutors later added another wire fraud charge, alleging that Milton persuaded the seller of an $8.5 million ranch to accept Nikola stock as part of the purchase price, stock that ultimately became nearly worthless. At the same time, the SEC filed a parallel civil securities fraud case against him.
Also, new information tonight on what may be one of the biggest con jobs in automotive history, with General Motors among the business partners that were taken for a ride.
Billionaire tycoon who promised to revolutionize the trucking industry with electric vehicles now indicted for fraud. Prosecutors saying Trevor Milton, quote, lied about nearly every aspect of the business.
Trevor Milton pleaded not guilty and was released on $100 million bond. His attorney denounced the case in a statement. This is a new low in the government's efforts to criminalize lawful business conduct. Every executive in America should be horrified. Milton's trial began in September 2022. Prosecutors portrayed him as a classic con man hiding behind modern technology. His lies may have been on social media, Assistant U.S. Attorney Jordan Estes told the jury. But make no mistake, this was an old-fashioned fraud. According to the government, Milton's relentless stream of false and misleading statements cost retail investors as much as $674 million. Even that figure, prosecutors argued, was conservative. If Nikola's lost market capitalization were used instead, the damage approached $4 billion. The defense was incredulous. A trial about tweets, attorney Mark Mukasey asked the jury. I mean, really? The posts, he argued, were nothing more than marketing. Prosecutors were distorting Milton's words, he said, his intentions, his meanings. So what if the company filmed a non-functioning truck rolling downhill to make it look operational? It's certainly not a crime to use special effects, Mukasey told the jury. Otherwise, the government would have to indict the Energizer Bunny. Instead, they, the coastal elites in New York, indicted Trevor Milton, a quote, rancher from Utah, who never set out to deceive anyone. He wasn't motivated by spite, nastiness, ill will, or cruelty, Mukasey insisted, as if those had ever been required elements for fraud. And even if some of Milton's statements proved inaccurate, the defense's lone witness claimed they caused investors no measurable harm. The trial went on like this for 4 weeks, and then finally on October 14, 2022, after a little more than 5 hours of deliberation, the jury found Trevor Milton guilty of one count of securities fraud and two counts of wire fraud. He was acquitted on the remaining securities fraud count, although several jurors later said they had been confused by the court's instructions and would have and should have convicted him on every count had they received a clarification. Trevor Milton's sentencing hearing on December 18, 2023 was just as exhausting as his trial because Trevor Milton was given a chance to speak. He gave a long, meandering monologue that ricocheted between God, personal tragedy, claims of innocence, and wrongful convictions. He paused occasionally to dab tears from his eyes as he reflected on how third-grade classmates made fun of him for crying while watching Where the Red Fern Grows. I had an unusually tender heart, Trevor admitted. I knew I would never be understood. Trevor explained he stepped down from Nikola to take care of his wife, who had Lyme's disease, not because of any fraud. And then he reflected on his ancestry. I am one quarter Cherokee. There was ethnic cleansing against my ancestors. My people were driven into Oklahoma. The trauma is visible on reservations. The generational trauma ended with my mother. She refused to pass it down to her children. Funny enough, Hindenburg Research later fact-checked Milton's claims of Native American ancestry and found that his mother's side of the family was most likely Greek, and that his great-great-great maternal grandfather, Isaac Jackson, owned 24 slaves. In the end, 42-year-old Trevor Milton was sentenced to 4 years in prison, but remained free pending his immediate appeal. It was the second time his team had attempted to have the conviction thrown out. They originally argued that one of the jurors was biased when they discovered that she had once tweeted, quote, "tax the rich." The restitution amount was also deferred until the court could determine the appropriate amount. Prosecutors were sticking with its figure of $600 million plus. In the meantime, Trevor Milton was allowed to stay home and do what he loved to do. play with his little phone.
You can't fake this stuff when it's an open book. And Nicola was an open book. And that's one reason why you saw, if you guys ever followed the trial that I just went through, the government never claimed that any of those investors were ever misled, ever.
I mean, the government's entire case was based on the fact that retail investors were misled, repeatedly. And the fact that every partnership dissolved after the lies were revealed made it seem like Nicola's corporate investors were also misled. Surely no one could possibly be dumb enough to believe this guy, right?
What's up, guys? Oh my gosh. Oh, you won't believe just what happened. Sorry, it's pretty hard for me to talk about, but probably the best day I've had in 5 years. I just got a call from the President of the United States on my phone, and he signed my full and unconditional pardon of innocence. I am free. The prosecutors can no longer hurt me. They can't destroy my family. They can't rip everything away from me. They can't ruin my life.
In one of the least surprising developments of all time, on March 27th, 2025, Trevor Milton was pardoned by President Donald J. Trump. A full and unconditional pardon, which meant that Trevor would not have to compensate or repay anybody anything. In fact, Milton was even refunded the $300 special assessment fee that every federal convicted felon pays at sentencing. Naturally, Trevor Milton took a podcast victory lap, appearing on shows like Tucker Carlson to share details about how he was, quote, prosecuted for his free speech, his momentous pardoning experience, and to issue praise for Dear Leader.
I had never imagined the power of a man's words in my life ever hit me like that. And it was when Trump told me, I'm doing something for you that no one could do for me. And it was like, it hurt my heart. Like, it hurt me to like think about like what he went through and what Trump's been through and like what they're doing to him, and no one could come in and do that for him. And I was like, this guy's a human beyond measure. The media loves to make him out to be a villain. He is so human, so fucking amazing. Like I'd die for him, dude. In 2 seconds, I'd take a bullet in 1 second for him. Like he's that good of a man.
All right, let's hear the reasoning from this human beyond measure for pardoning Trevor Milton. Surely, after overriding a federal jury, sparing a convicted fraudster from prison, and cutting off the possibility of hundreds of millions of dollars in restitution for victims, there must be a careful, deeply informed explanation waiting for us, a principled and nuanced defense, a command of the facts, at least a coherent sentence or two.
And what was your reason for pardoning Trevor Milton?
Highly recommended by many people that was taken advantage of. He did a business deal like in Utah, as I have it. I think he was exonerated, and then they brought him into New York, where he had a rough road and road. I mean, he was exonerated. It was a big celebration. Again, I don't know him, but I was. They say it was very unfair, and they say the thing that he did wrong was he was one of the first people that supported a gentleman named Donald Trump for president. He supported Trump. He liked Trump. I didn't know him, but he liked him.
Yes, Trevor Milton was persecuted by the federal government because he liked Donald Trump. That's it. And he was pardoned because, quote, they say it was very unfair. And definitely not because, according to the Wall Street Journal, Trevor Milton and his wife had donated more than $3 million to conservative political causes leading up to the 2024 election, including at least $750,000 to a PAC controlled by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who Trump admits personally lobbied him to pardon Milton. And surely it had nothing to do with the fact that Milton's lawyers were Mark Mukasey, who has represented the Trump Organization, and Brad Bondi, the brother of Pam Bondi, who Trump appointed as U.S. Attorney General. Those relationships were purely coincidental, I'm sure. For his part, Trevor Milton insists he wouldn't even know how to buy a pardon. And even if he did, he says he wouldn't because, quote, it's illegal. No, the real reason he was pardoned, according to Milton, is that Donald Trump stands up for the little guy, the little helpless billionaire.
He loves people. You know what he hates more than anything? I'll tell you what Trump hates more than anything. Trump hates
bullies.
Mm-hmm.
He hates bullies.
Since the slate has been wiped clean, Trevor Milton has been busy going to meetings and high-fiving, quote, the most wealthy people in the world. They're like, welcome to the club. We can trust you now, he told the Wall Street Journal. Trevor also released a YouTube documentary on June 10th, 2025 to tell his side of the story. Nobody has seen it, but it is currently approaching 30 million views. Trevor Milton wouldn't buy views, would he? Let's see what the comments say. Oh, they're turned off. Well, I guess we'll just have to take his word for it. Speaking of mirages, Nikola eventually settled with the SEC for $125 million and filed for federal bankruptcy after the trucks they finally produced began to spontaneously combust. By then, shares of the company were valued at 44 cents each. Trevor Milton, who an arbitration panel ruled was liable for that $125 million penalty, attempted to purchase Nikola's assets, but his bid was rejected. No worries, because you know Trevor. He was already five steps ahead.
This is so much fun. I finally get to tell you guys what I've been working on for so long. I purchased this company with a group of people called CyberJet.
Swindled is written, researched, produced, and hosted by me, a concerned citizen, with original music by Trevor Howard, aka Deformer, aka Jack Job. For more information about Swindled, you can visit swindledpodcast.com and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Swindled Podcast. Or you can send us a postcard at P.O. Box 2045, Austin, Texas 78768. But please, no packages. We do not trust you. Swindled is a completely independent production, which means no network, no investors, no bosses, no shadowy money men, no country pull-offs. We plan to keep it that way, but we need your support. Become a valued listener on Patreon, Apple Podcast, or Spotify at valuedlistener.com. For as little as $5 a month, you will receive early access to new episodes and exclusive access to bonus episodes that you can't find anywhere else. And everything is 100% commercial free. Become a valued listener at valuedlistener.com. Or if you want to support the show and need something to wear while rolling down a hill, consider buying something you don't need at swindledpodcast.com/shop. There are t-shirts, patches, hats, hoodies, posters, coffee mugs, and more. swindledpodcast.com/shop. And remember to use coupon code CAPITALISM to receive 10% off your order. If you don't want anything in return for your support, you can always simply donate using the form on the homepage. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Hello, my name is Jack from San Francisco.
Hello, my name is Tyrone from Baltimore.
Hi, my name is Sam, and I'm from Portland, Oregon. And I'm a concerned citizen
and a valued listener. Nice work on the Juggalo episode.
And hopefully I am still in the seat of the revolution once it starts. Bye!
In the U.S., there's a break-in every 26 seconds. That's why I trust SimpliSafe. Their AI-powered cameras and U.S.-based live agents help stop crime before it happens. Get 50% off your new system at simplysafe.com/swindled. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.